So he's an exciting time of his life. So Pastor Mutombo, come on up and share the word with us. God bless you.
Good morning. Everybody's all right? It's been a wonderful, wonderful time for me to be able to connect with Northgate and Pastor Dan and the family and Apostle Thalo and the family. I've learned a lot, I've gleaned a lot, and I owe a good chunk of my pastoral and leadership experience to them, because God has always spoken to my life, Thalo, whenever I come around, and he's injected a lot of wisdom and insights in my life, and they've been very, very helpful to me as a young leader back home. So I really appreciate the contribution of Northgate. Could you just give thanks to God on this behalf? Amen. That aside, I bring greetings from our church back home, Revive Glory. They know I'm here. I always touch base with them. I came about 5 days ago, and they asked, how are you doing? Because normally when I get to travel, it takes me a while to get on my feet with all this jet lag and stuff. So they asked me, are you doing well? All right. I said, I'm doing fine, and I'm fixing to be preaching this morning. I was WhatsApping my brother. So I bring greetings from them. I bring greetings from my bride-to-be, Grace. Her name is Grace. She's a wonderful, gracious lady. I love her with all of my intestines and my heart. Amen. I'm a writer. I have a couple of books I have written, and they are in the back. Probably some of you were able to buy some last year. But this to me is some little tent making. It helps with my troubles, and at this time around, it's helping me, or going to help me with my dowry and my wedding preparation. And my wedding preparations. So what I've done is that I've written 3 more books, and I have a total of 5 right in the back and in my hands. And for these 5 copies, if you haven't been able to get them, you can have them at $45, because each of them is $10. But for a gift of $45 or more, you can have the 5. One of them is Gates of Worship. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. It's a new release, and in this, I speak about your life and my life as a city of God. And we definitely know that cities have gates, or had gates, and doors. Your life is a city, and God wants to entrance every part of your life. Your hands, your mouth, every part of your life demonstrates the city of God. And the scriptures say, open ye the gates, that the King of Glory may come in. So I explain in detail how your life can be a representation of that city, and the King of Glory can get it. And this other book is Principles of Faith, and this is what I'm going to be sharing from. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, the great patriarchs and matriarchs of our time, not having received the promises. I share the 5 things that unlock your sick sense of faith. Great stuff. Last but not least, because the 2 of them, I had talked about them, is Purpose of Praise. I share 6 biblical reasons why we praise. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. This is a hot cake. I really love it. Wherever I go, they love to take this book first. But all these books are wonderful. 4 Faces of a Worshipper. I speak about the 4 creatures in the book of Revelation and the book of Ezekiel that always stand around the circle worshiping God 24/7. They demonstrate what worship means. What does the ox face represent? What does the lion face represent? The eagle face and the face of a man as far as worship is concerned. Last but not least, I have a small book on nuggets, worship keys for worthful living. Over a cup of coffee in the morning, or over a glass of juice, you can sit, relax in your couch, and soak in these little nuggets. They will bless your heart. So for the 5 of them, for my dowry, just $45 and above, it will be a great blessing. Let us lift up our hands. Father, we thank you for this morning. We celebrate you for the great things you're doing in our time and in our generation. Thank you for Northgate. Thank you for this wonderful family of mine away from the African family back home. I celebrate you for the great things you are preparing. Thank you for VBS. Thank you for the activities that are running through this month, through this summertime, and through this season. And we thank you and celebrate you for the greatness of your name and Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. Amen. You'll turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and we shall read from verse 13. I'm going to be sharing from one of my books, Principles of Faith, the five things that unlock your sixth sense. My full name is Andrew Mutambo, and I want to encourage you, there is a Facebook page, a Facebook page called Revived Glory Worship Ministry. Revived Glory Worship Ministry is a Facebook page. Those of you who have a heart, passion, and desire for worship, you can go on to that page, join it. I normally post very, very inspirational quotes on worship every day. Wonderful, wonderful worship nuggets. I post them. Revive Glory Worship Ministry is a Facebook page. If you're a Facebook lover, you can always glean something that can help you through the day or through the week. All right, Hebrews 11, 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is unheavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I want to begin by making it a definition of faith, which we all, I believe, are familiar with in Hebrews 11:1, that faith is a substance, that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. In this particular passage or verse, the word faith drawn from the Greek word means conviction. It also means expectation, assurance, confidence, belief, reliance on Christ, constancy in profession, and truthfulness of God. So when Paul was the writer of the Hebrews, writes and says, now faith is a substance. He says, now our conviction, our expectation is the substance of things we're hoping for. Ladies and gentlemen, faith is the womb in which the seeds of our dreams are nurtured and incubated. I believe every one of us here in life has dreams. Things we want, we're aspiring for, to become, to do, to reach. We have goals we have in our lives. Faith is that womb in which the seeds of our dreams are nurtured and incubated. It is the bedrock of our Christian life and the driving force of all our dreams. Beneath us is our faith, and before us is our faith. It is the access route to God and the unseen force that moves God to act on our behalf. We need faith in our Christian walk. It is a versatile weapon that overcomes the spirit of fear and makes us stand tall amidst all odds of life. We can call faith our sixth sense that helps us speak into the spiritual world and unlock whatever is hidden for us. Paul describes it as a shield, as a door, as a mystery, as a breastplate, and as a law. Faith is our shield. Faith is our door. Faith is a mystery. Faith is our breastplate. And faith is a law we operate in the spiritual realm. Faith is also the currency of the eternal kingdom that enables us to transact with God all the time. You need faith to transact your blessing and your miracle, to translate what you need from God, from the spiritual realm to the physical. Now folks, in order for this faith to be fully functional, there are principles it must abide by. And we shall read again Hebrews 11:13 for emphasis. It says, these all died in faith. It talks about the great matriarchs and the patriarchs of our faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That is where the gist of my book lies, in that verse. Not having seen them afar off. They were persuaded. They embraced them. And they confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I want you to notice in that particular verse there is that small sentence or statement, having seen them afar off. Everybody say, having seen them afar off. Could you say it again? Having seen them afar off. The element of sight is cardinal when it comes to the journey of faith. Spiritual sight automatically becomes a strong basis in the pursuit of our destiny. The question is, how can we be able to trigger this principle of faith? We all need the aspect of sight in faith. That is why throughout scripture, God looks and talks to people and says, according to what you see, you will get. As a man thinketh in his heart, so we see. He keeps on telling them, Jeremiah, what do you see? He asks him a question again, Jeremiah, what do you see? And as you see, so shall it be done for you, in paraphrase. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to focus on the aspect of the principle of sight in our faith. Look at somebody and say, we need sight in our faith. In order for our faith to be fully functional, we need the aspect of sight. Turn with me to the book of Genesis 13, 14 through 18. That is where I'm going to lay my foundation. Genesis and chapter 13, verse 14 through 18. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Abram, after that Lord was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, mark that word, which thou seest, to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Folks, at this time in Abraham's life, he's in transition, he's transitioning. And he's been waiting on his son for many years. We all know, are very familiar with the story of Abraham. He's waiting for his son right from his journey, from the land of his fathers, up to where God is taking him 75 years down the road. He's waiting on a child and a son. And then God tells him from the place where he was, lift up thine eyes and see all this plain. Look leftwards and eastwards, southwards and westwards. All the land that you see, I'm going to give to your descendants. One key word we pick out from there is lift up your eyes and see. And I believe in our generation, in our time, and in our, when we zero in into our personal lives, God is asking you as the Abraham of today, what do you see? Lift up your eyes beyond where you were, because there is opportunity. I don't know what you're asking God for. There is a job. As far as I'm concerned, I'm looking forward to getting married. He's asking me, Andrew, what do you see? Do you see grace in your arms after February 14th, Valentine's Day? Do you see that? Do you see beyond your encumbrances, beyond your mountains? I believe life is a journey that is punctuated with hurdles and mountains. But the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. So he tells him, lift up your eyes and see. At this time in Abraham's life, he has no child. But he tells him that I'm going to make your descendants like the dust of the earth and like the sand of the sea. Faith was cardinal in Abraham's life to trigger the promise of God in his life. And there are six things I want to share that can help us unlock the principle of sight as far as our faith is concerned. I begin by saying that when God speaks to Abraham, lift your eyes and see, he tells him before that, after Lot was separate from him. Everybody say, after Lot was separate from him. In order for him to lift his eyes and see the opportunities, there had to be a separation. Separation entails severing yourself from the things that cling to and are deterrents to God's plans for you. Those things come in different sizes and parts. attitudes, habits, beliefs, and thinking patterns, the many things that come to cloud our judgment and our sight. The more we cut on love them, the more we blind and suffocate our destinies. There are things and walls and images that the devil has put around us, and all the time they come to confuse and incarcerate the very dream that lies before us. I looked up the word Lot. The name Lot comes from a word, a Hebrew word that means a veil. So the more that Abraham had Lot around him, he was veiled from the opportunities that were before him. And I believe in your life and in my life, there are many Lots that are covering our eyes. It may be fear. It may be worry. It may be anxiety. It may be complaining. These Lots come in different shapes and sizes. And before God could tell Abraham, lift your eyes and see, Lot had to be separate from him. And I believe God is challenging you and I in our time and in our generation, in our moment, in our life, that there are opportunities. There is a blessing. There is a door of opportunity. There is a miracle that God wants to unfold in your life. But there should be a Lot that is separate from you. At times you start thinking. At times you look around and there seems to be no way. But the Bible says He makes a way in the desert. He pours rivers in the deserts. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, therefore seeing that we are also compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weights and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the rest that is set before us. We just read the passage in Hebrews 11 about this great man and women who looked for a city. They sought for a city whose builder and maker was God. They sought for that country. They were able to cling onto their faith because of what they saw in the Spirit. The Bible said they saw the promises afar off. I don't care how far they are, but as long as we are focused on what God has purposed to do in our lives, God is going to fast forward. God is going to make things happen for us. We cannot turn back. We can only look forward. God is going to help us raise our children. There are many areas of worry and concern that keep boomeranging, that keep hitting hard on us. But as long as we shall stay focused and lift our heads beyond where we are, there is something beyond the horizon. There is something that lies on the other side. And God is challenging you. It's time to remove that worry. It's time to shake up what is holding your capacity to see. It is time to undo whatever is around you. It's time to refresh your page. Because the door of opportunity is lying before you. They saw the promises afar, and this kept them moving. They knew they were strangers and pilgrims. I have come to declare that whatever you are walking through is only a stranger and a pilgrim. That situation has come and it will go. Nothing is a constant in life except God. Whatever you and I are facing is a stranger. It has come. At one point in time it is going to go. So separation, as far as our ability to see afar off, is important. We're only going to see beyond where we are when we learn to separate ourselves from those things that cling so much to us. For those of you who are very familiar with the story, Lot came with Abraham from the land of Haran. He lived with him for a long time as his nephew. He clung to him, lived with him, grew up with him. He took him, he held him in high esteem. He looked at him as his son. But there is a point in time in life where God told Abraham that, you know what, you're not going to move far as long as this young man is with you. And I want to contextualize Lot as those things that we have grown up with. There are those things in the areas of our lives that have so clung in us. They have clung onto our minds and onto our hearts. And God is telling us, in order for you to move to the next level, you have to let it go. We keep worrying, we keep whining, we keep whimpering. We keep thinking left and right, Lord, how is it going to be? We keep trusting in the arm of flesh, but God is telling you it is the season you let Lot go. Because in order for you to gain sight of what God has for you, you have to lose sight of what is here. And that is what God was telling Abraham. Abraham, lift your eyes that the Lord will separate. See the opportunity that lies before you. Friends, the second thing is that we should develop a seer's eye. It's imperative to nurture your eye of faith that enables you to see beyond the natural barriers. My first point was separation. Second point is seer's eye. It's imperative to nurture your eye of faith that enables you to see beyond natural barriers. This faith eye is embedded in your spirit, which is in your conscience. And it grows wider and clearer via God's Word. Amen. The more we cultivate the atmosphere of hearing and reading the Word of God, the more the eye of our faith grows clearer and wider. Amen. It is always clouded with different things as you go through the day and the motions of the day in class, in school, at your place of work. There are different things that devil throws in our way. Before the day comes to an end, you are bogged down, you have no guts, you have no strength, you are discouraged, you feel like giving up. But the more we step into the Word of God and learn to hear it, the more our eye is cleansed. The Word of God cleanses the eye of our faith. And when it's cleansed and washed, we're able to keep on seeing what lies before us. That is why through Scripture God says, lift up your eyes and see. Look, behold, I do a new thing. Why? Because the eye of your face should be able to be clear and sightful. The Bible says, Jeremiah 1:11, again the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And that is what God is asking somebody here. What do you see? Do you see your pain? Do you see your pressure? I was sharing, I posted a quote on our worship page, and I say that we live in a life of creative tension. For those Christians who have learned to juggle life as they grow maturely, we live in a life of creative tension. In us there is pain, but we should learn to have praise. In us there is weakness, but we should learn to worship. In us we find ourselves with sickness, but we should learn to sing. That is what we call creative tension. There is pain that is pulling you down, but you have to praise to get up. That is the creative tension. The forces are fighting against you, and there is a force you aspire for. So in order to see what is beyond you, you should learn to cultivate that eye of faith that is embedded in your spirit. Cultivate it through hearing the Word, listening to the Word, drenching yourself in the Word of God. And when we keep on doing that, our eye will be clear. I believe everybody wakes up in the morning. If you haven't had a full bath, you wash your face. The same thing in the spiritual. You should learn to wash your spiritual face with the Word of God. Because as you keep on doing that, then your eyes will be enlightened. You will be able to comprehend and see the length, the breadth, and the width of God's love for you. You will be able to keep on beholding the promise that lies ahead of you. And as you behold it, you will keep on drawing clear, nearer and nearer to it by the day. So it's not enough just to let Lot get out of you. It's also important to see. Because on a daily basis, God is showing us what He wants us to become. Spiritually, financially, physically, family related. There are always things God is telling you about. But unless you cultivate that eye of your faith, that eye of your conscience, you won't be able to comprehend. He says, look and see. That means there is one thing to look and it's another to see. Maybe look, but don't see. And the only way we're going to see clearly and behold and say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely by His stripes I'm healed. With God all things are possible. Is when the clarity comes upon us. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:18 that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance are in the saints. Then the Lord said to me, Jeremiah 1:12, you have seen well, for I watch over my word to give it effect. When you see well, His word becomes effective in your life. Because by the time you declare it, you have understood and got a perception of what you declare. Ladies and gentlemen, so as Abraham is separate from Lot, God tells him, right, you have taken the first step, you have done the separation, now I want you to have the seer's eye. Do you see, Abraham, do you see the opportunity before you? And that is what God is telling somebody here. Do you see your miracle? Do you see your job? Do you see your healing? Do you see your deliverance? Do you see your next level? Do you see the goodness of your God before you?
Amen.
Don't let the devil pull you down. Don't let situations crush you. He who began the good work is going to finish it. A Luther continua. That's why the Bible says, Ebenezer, that far has the Lord brought us. If he was able to help you slay the lion and the bear, Goliath is going to be put down. God will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people forevermore. What do you see? That is the challenge I'm living with you today. What do you see? In the same verse, in the same passage, the Bible tells me, he tells Abraham, from where you were, everybody say from where you were. Come and tell somebody from where you were. He told him, from where you were, lift up your eyes. My third point is that faith has a starting point. From where you were. He told him from where you were, not from where you were, but from where you are. All our journeys of faith have a starting point, because faith is about the present and the now. Yesterday is gone. Today and now is its starting point. Amen. Don't focus on what hasn't been. Don't focus on what has failed. Yesterday is gone. The failures and the successes of yesterday are behind you. Today is your springboard. Now is your beginning. Now lift your eyes. Now I can begin doing something new. Now I can begin changing. He told Abraham, now from where you are, lift up your eyes and see. So I want to encourage somebody here. You cannot change the past, but you can affect your future by now. These starting points refer to your current state, your life, your health, your finances, your relations and your career. I don't know what has happened in the past, but you can change your life, your health, your finances, your relations, and your career from where you were.
Amen.
You can lift your eyes from where you were and say, God, from today, I choose to see my opportunities. From today, I choose to see your blessing. From today, I choose to see my healing. Never let your present situation be your undertaker, but a platform for a start of God's blessing. I repeat that. Never let your present situation be your undertaker, but a platform for God to begin blessing your life.
Amen.
The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 1, give ear, O Israel, today you go over Jordan to take the heritage of nations greater and stronger than yourselves, and towns of great size with walls as high as heaven. A people great and tall, the sons of the Anakims, of whom you have known, and of whom it has been said, all are forced to give way before the sons of Anak. Be certain that today it is the Lord your God who goes over before you like an old burning fire. 9:3 of Deuteronomy. He will send destruction on them, crushing them before you. And he will send them to flight, putting an end to them quickly, as the Lord has said. The fact was, the Anakims, tall, great giants, were in the land. But the truth was that God was with them. Facts and truth, creative tension. The fact was, the land is full of giants. The fact is that life always has challenges. But the truth is that God says, I will be with you. I will fight your battles. I will go before you like an all-consuming fire. As you stand your ground and look left and right, and there are seemingly no opportunities, God himself will go ahead of you. He makes rivers in the desert. He pours waters on dry ground. From today, choose to see what God is showing you. If you can't see it in your dreams and your vision, choose to see it through the eyes of Scripture. What are God's promises for me? What is He telling me about my career? What is He telling me about my family? What is He telling me about my health? What is He telling me about my destiny? Choose to see what God is saying through the eyes of Scripture. And choose to make your today your starting point. Stop whining and whimpering over what is gone. Stop cuddling yourself and sucking your thumb and say, Lord, I don't know where it's going to begin from. You choose to make your day happen. And say, Lord, this July, this second half of the year, things are turning around. I choose to see my blessing even in the midst of the Anakims. I choose to see success even in the midst of failure. I choose to see glory even in the midst of gloom. What do you see? the question. Because when you look around, there is a lot of pain, a lot of tears left and right, a lot of anarchy. We look around, there is more degradation in schools. Dan was telling me, there is a lot going on in the political field, in the social field. You look left and right, the devil seems to be having the upper hand. But God is raising an army. God has a generation. God has a people. God has a package for you. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. God will never give you responsibility without ability. He cares for you. He believes in you. He's waiting for the right time for you to know who you are, to stand your ground and say, Lord, even in the midst of this pain, I thank you because there is praise. You make a way. You made a way for the Israelites. You're going to make a way for me. Lord, you are God. You give glory and grace. No good thing you withhold from those that walk uprightly. See your promises. See the goodness of God through Scripture. See and behold the greatness of His majesty. And in the midst of that, when Abraham is caught up in the presence of God after the separation and telling him to see and give him his cutting point. Point number four, he gives him a selection. Faith gives you the ability to select. He told him, look to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. There's all these lands you're seeing, all that vast property, all that estate. I'm going to give it to you and your sons. And the essence of looking in the four directions is seeing God's limitless opportunities. I repeat that. The essence of looking in the four directions, why God told Abram that look north, south, east, and west, is that God was telling him, don't limit me by thinking your blessing is going to come from here. And that is what God challenges us. On a continued basis, because we are human, we tend to think that this is where my well is. This is where my paddock is. This is where my small well is. God can bless you from any. He tells Abraham, look in all directions. Don't limit me. Don't limit my ability. Don't limit me. Don't only think that through praise I can heal you and touch you in every environment. Even in the bathroom I can touch you. Even while you're cooking I can touch you. Even while you're lying in your bed I can touch you. I can do the God thing anywhere at any time. I can do it in church when you're having fellowship. I can do it when you're alone, when you're mowing your garden. I can do it when you're preparing food. I can do it when you're entertaining guests. I can do it when you are in office. I can touch you and bless you from anywhere. The essence of looking the four directions is an indication that the measure you behold equals to the measure you get. When he tells him, look left, look right, look east, look west, he was telling him, the far that you're going to see is the far I'm going to bless you. So I'm asking you again, what do you see? Do you see God's limitless abilities? Do you see God's potential? Do you see Him able to do over and above what you think? The Bible says in Ephesians 3:17-19 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The point here is that you may be able to understand that God blesses, honors, anoints, heals in any way He feels like. I believe there is a person here God is telling that don't only look in one direction. As you step out in life, as you step out seeking this, as you step out aspiring to become this, to receive that, to go here and there, don't limit God in one direction. Don't look at a particular place, at a particular door. Let God be God. Because He can choose to come through any door. He can choose to come through the ceiling. He can choose to come through the window. He can choose even to come from beneath. God wants us as a student to understand that it's up to us, or it's upon us, just to cultivate the ability to see His goodness, His capacity, and His potential. And when we do that and open up all the sectors and the avenues of our lives and our hands and our hearts and our praises and our worship and our adoration, He is going to come through to us. The four directions are God's statement that I'm able to bless you from any direction. And when he tells him now, take a step. Begin surveying. That is my fifth point. Begin surveying. Take a step. Look. As you see now, begin taking steps of faith. Faith helps you survey. Separation. CSI. Starting point. Selection. And survey. He tells him to walk the breadth and the length of the land. This is about making a physical or spiritual tour of your promised domain or heritage. You take a step of faith in your mind. You see yourself becoming. You see yourself reaching. For example, I wanted to buy a piece of property back home. I didn't have the money in my pockets. But I felt I needed to take a step of faith and go to the property and walk the breadth and the length of it. And that is what God was telling Abraham. Abraham, don't just see. Put your sight in what? Practice. Walk the breadth and the length. I came around. My lady needs a gown, a wedding gown. But I walked into some shops. I don't have all the money. I walked into some shops, ma'am, and I began inquiring, how much is this mermaid gown? They told me $1,500. I said, all right. I didn't ask him back and forth. And she thought I had the cash on me or the card, but I said, I'm going to come back soon. But I took a step of faith, and that is what God wants from us. Take those steps and begin surveying what is yours. I don't know what it is. It might be spiritual. It might be physical. But don't hold back and say, Lord, I believe. Faith without works is dead. So Abraham took a step of faith and began walking the breadth and the length of the land. It's a process of spiritual mapping for those who understand spiritual warfare. It's a process of what they call spiritual mapping, picturing yourself becoming and possessing the promise. You see yourself in that healing. You see yourself on that job. You see yourself married. You see yourself transformed. You see yourself becoming what God wants you to be. You mentalize it. You become it. What you see, you walk in. And say, Lord, I may be living in the physical realm, but my mind is there. I see myself becoming this. I see myself becoming that. I see myself reaching out to this. The Bible says in Numbers 30:17, and Moses sent them out to spy the land of Canaan. Why? Because God wanted them to do some spiritual mapping. And they said unto them, get up this way, southward, and go up to the mountain, and see the land. Ladies and gentlemen, God, in all His might and His power, would have given them an on-site tour, just spiritually, and just put up some kind of projector, and He tells them, you know what, like He did on Mount Sinai when He came down and spoke and gave them the commands, He would have told them, gather together, I want to show you the land of Canaan, and He would have put up some kind of spiritual projector, and He would have let Canaan pass by, you see all that is the land. No, but He wanted them to take a step. Go and spy the land. And that is what God is telling you and I. Go and spy your promise. Spy it in prayer. Spy it in your worship. Spy it. Go physically. If it's a property you want to buy, if it is something you want to get, and it is inside, go and have a look. Inquire. There is nothing wrong in asking. I stepped in the shop. They told me 1,500. These are worth 2,000. And these are necessary. I said, thank you. Appreciate that. Then I went back. I told God that I have done my part. I have spied. So I wrote back to my lady and said, you know what? What you want is worth this. I said, wow. I said, well, we have taken a step of faith. So I'm believing God for another step. Because God wants us to take a step. Whenever we take a step, He takes a step. Whenever you stand still, He stands still. As long as you stand still, he stands still. When you take a step, he takes a step. He says, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. So he tells him, in closing, as a prayer to close, Abraham, 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 all this land is yours, but you're not just going to have a sanctified imagination that, wow, all this is mine. No, take a step. Have a feel of it. Have a feel of where you're going. Have the burden for it. Have a feel for it. And when he begins moving up and down, back and forth, the Bible tells me that Abraham removed his tent. That is verse 18 of the verse of Genesis. He removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plains of Mamre. Point number 6, he stationed himself. After surveying, he stationed. You purposely and perceptively shift your mental abode and pitch camp in God's promises. He stationed himself. He didn't only see and separate and hope the seer's eye and select. No, he said, now my mind is going to live there. I choose to live there spiritually before I see it in the physical. He shifted his camp and his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre. Even before the promise of seeing his sons and his daughter and his grandchildren in that place, he took a step and said, let me take the initiative and pitch camp here. I am beholding sons and daughters and grandchildren and grandchildren, but let me be the initiator. Let me station myself here. And God is challenging us to station ourselves in our healing. There may be pain in your back, but station yourself in your deliverance. Choose to live in the realm of I am healed. I am delivered. I am blessed. I am prosperous. Don't just talk about it. Choose to see yourself in that place. And that is Abraham did. And God is telling you and I, shift your tent, shift your mind. Everybody says, shift your mind. Shift your spirit, shift your confession, shift your mental abode. He shifted his tent and pitched there. You choose to relocate your spiritual residence and live in the realm of your dreams. You wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I am healed. Not say, I will be healed. No, I am healed. I am delivered. I am prosperous. I am more than a conqueror. Lord, I am victorious. I am employed. Hey, my brother, what's going on? Well, it looks to me like I'm in between jobs, but in real terms, I am employed. Because you are living in the realm of your dreams. You are stationing yourself there. And we all know that things are first of all unlocked in the spirit before they are released in the physical. And that's what God wants of us. We are spiritual people, just wearing flesh and blood. We operate on the spiritual level. And once you choose to live in those dynamics, you're going to understand, you're going to talk the language of God. God wants us to talk his language. Look at someone and say, God wants us to talk his language. Say it again. God wants us to talk his language. And faith is the currency of the spirit. Joshua 1, 3 to 4, as I close. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river of the Euphrates, all the land of the high days, unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. He tells them. That's a promise. He's showing them. But they have to take steps of faith and battle it. But I believe before they battled it in the physical, they had to do some spiritual mapping. They had to go through the rigor. They had to go through the mapping process. And God is challenging somebody here. There are things you are aspiring for. You want to be. You want to become. You want to achieve. God is showing you. In your spirit there is a witness. There may not be dreams you've had or visions, but there is a witness in your spirit. To become this, to do this, to achieve that. That is what God is showing you in your conscience. But he's telling you, don't just lay them somewhere, maybe in a book, I personally get to write down what God tells me. Don't just hide it in the back of your mind and say, Lord, you know you'll take care of that. Take steps of faith. Speak it in the morning. Declare it over your life. I am healed, Lord. What you showed me is a reality in my life. I choose to live in the realm of my blessing. The devil is a liar. I am becoming what God wants me to become. Amen. Ask your neighbor, what do you see? Please stand up with me. I want us to say prayer before I close. I've just only shared snippets. Everything is in this book. The whole journey. I detail, explain how faith helps you see, how you're able to embrace, how you confess, how you're persuaded, how these people, that these are the principles, five things that unlock your faith. So then I just shoot up my hands in heaven and just talk to Jesus. Say, Lord, help me see. Help me see what, could I ask the praise band to come here? Lord, help me see what you have purpose for me, Lord. I choose not to be coerced and deceived and be castrated by fear. I choose to see my healing. I choose to see my health. And if there is anybody behind there that wants to respond to the word of God and the areas in your life you want us to stand in agreement with you in prayer about, I just encourage you just to come forward and let's pray together. I know there are questions in people's hearts and minds, and Lord how, Lord when, Lord what, and maybe tears have become your food. We don't see them physically, but there are tears on your heart. You fail to express yourself. There are things that you feel have taken very long. But God is here to encourage you. I just want to encourage you, if you're there, just come and let us agree with you in prayer. As the band leads us in worship, come let us agree together. With God all things are possible. He makes rivers in the desert. Yes, He makes rivers.